Hey, folks, this is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and every Thursday we release these special episodes where we look back at content from the earlier years of the podcast. This week, it's the Best of Drug Stories, number one, 420 edition. We're dropping this episode right before April 20th, so if you're not too dazed and confused for it, in a little bit, we're going to hear from Sean O'Brien. But first, a story from Caitlin Gill that she first told at a Risk Live show in San Francisco in 2013. And here she is now with a story we call, Of Course I'm High Right Now.
Hi, everybody. So I have to say, it was kind of funny when I saw what the topic for tonight's event was, outside the comfort zone, because I'm not sure exactly what I would describe as being inside my comfort zone. I am not easily described as a comfortable person. I operate with like a base level of anxiety and nervousness that I don't think most people are willing to embrace. But I have grown accustomed and fond. That's just kind of how I roll. I think the better adjective is probably feral. Like house trained, but still a little nervous about being inside. Like, I promise you that this is the most comfortable I will be talking to any of you tonight. Should we find ourselves in conversation, rest assured. It was a lot easier when I had a microphone, a stage, and lights. That's much more comfortable for me. So I was kind of delighted to pick through to decide which one of my stories actually existed outside of my comfort zone other than all of them. But I thought specifically of this thing that happened about a year after I started stand-up comedy. I decided it would be a good idea to become a more well-rounded performer, and I pursued a workshop in solo performance, which would be like writing a one-woman show style thing. And like stand-up comedy is a lot of fun, but it only requires that I hit one button. Laugh, 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 laugh. That's all I want you to do all of the time. And in like a one-woman show, that would be very different. Like I would explore a broader range of emotion. I would have to become comfortable with longer periods of silence like this one. That is inherently terrifying for a comedic performer. But I was very curious about exploring all that, and so I decided that a workshop would be worth it. So that's what I did. I signed up to take this solo performance workshop. And there's like 12 of you in a class, and it goes a few weeks. You meet 3 hours a week, and you break down your own idea for a show together. And then at the end, you all perform your show, the little workshop thing. And I thought that would be worth it. It was really good. The first class was just like any other first class that's ever been a first class. We showed up, we got a syllabus, we introduced each other with some stupid icebreaker game, and then we left with an assignment. And the assignment was to come back to the next class with a list of 10 things that we were afraid to say in front of other people. And like, I'm a comedian, that's kind of my job description. Like, my comedy is best described as confessional. I already say some stuff that's kind of hard to say out loud. The rest of what I have to say is not just hard for me to say, but probably pretty hard for people to hear. Like, I am less concerned, like, having mined the rest of my discomfort, I'm a little bit less worried about how I feel saying it and more about how those poor 12 trapped people are going to hear what they're going to have to say. So I was a little bit nervous, but I got my list together and I showed up to the second class, and we meet in this crazy office. We're like on the sixth floor of this building downtown San Francisco that has a whole bunch of theater stuff in it. You get in with this little code, so I'm in the theater building now. And like, here's how I know I'm not an important person. I live in San Francisco, a major urban center globally, and I spend my entire life on the first floor of everything. I'm never in an elevator or an escalator. So, like, I am on the sixth floor. This feels like the big time. I'm pretty excited. Like, I take a picture of the view. So we're meeting, and, the class is kind of this cool, it's good motley crew. There's, like, a former bassist of a punk band, because what 50-year-old who lives in the Mission isn't a former bassist of a punk grand band? San Francisco is rife with them. There was like a bored housewife exploring her creative side. There's like a super sweet Midwestern lady who was like human syrup. Like she literally wore braided pigtails. Braided pigtails on purpose on a grown-up. It was adorable. She was so nice. There was like the overly effusive Asian lady. Like there was a, you know, who was like so good at everything. Like, and you have an MBA? Also, there's the guy who was like so gay that he was every part of the word gay. He was a pie. He was just a rainbow, just exploding. So happy, and every hug was really long and smelled like a warm person. Like he was just, like he wasn't sweaty. He was just damp with gay, just gay dampness. Just so gay that I'm damp. There was this lady, like a trust fund rusted, like, trustafarian lady with her thermos, eating quinoa out of the thermos with like the bamboo chopsticks. There was like a white dude who played like acoustic guitar a little too well. Like, I don't know what that means, but it means something, you know? I don't trust you, white guy who plays acoustic guitar too well. And people got up and they read their lists, and these aren't all people who are performers. They're like, it's, you know, it was stuff you expect people to be like afraid to say, like, I'm ashamed I'm balding. Mm. Oh, sometimes I park in handicapped spaces. Ah! I always ask for a double cup and a Java jacket. Mm! I like my servants more than my parents. Mm! That's all. Relatively banal, but scary. People were out on a limb, and it was, the way they were set up was cool. Everybody was sitting in a semicircle, and when you read your list, you'd stand up in the middle of the circle, and you read your list, and then everybody got to ask you questions about your list. So you're interrogated about what you're afraid of. But it's cathartic, and it was going really well. People were, like, you know, getting into it, and it was good, and it was my turn, and, like, you know, my list is a little bit different, like creepy uncle, creepier grandpa, like weird, you know. Like, still can't look in a mirror, all the tears, like, you can take the fat out of the girl, you could never take the fat girl out of the girl, like lots of weird, you know. And right in the middle, right in the middle, I buried this little gem that I assume is like the most banal entry on my list. And I mentioned to the group that, like, I have a holy trinity of addiction that is marijuana, caffeine, and television. And I can enjoy all three on a rotating basis as long as there are all three. Like, I need nothing else. That is happy right in there, right in that place where I'm sleepy from the bong hit, jittery from the coffee, need some bong hits. Oh, The Simpsons again, which aren't on Netflix, but I have every DVD. And it gets to be my question and answer time, and people immediately go back to the pot. You smoke pot? Oh my God, you smoke pot? Because, like, it's not, I don't have the look. Like, I am a librarian who hasn't graduated from college yet. Like, I... at 30. Like, I'm so old to be that part, but I'm such a, you know, I'm kind of a nerdy, I'm not like, I don't bring my drum to the circle, like, I'm not very straight combed hair, like, I don't have, yeah, I'm just not, I don't wear hiking boots, or like, I don't have a pair of pants made out of four pairs of pants, like, I'm just not, I don't fit the stoner stereotypes. So people are so curious, like, wait, you really smoke pot? Like, yeah, no, I smoke pot. Well, how much pot? All of the pot. I smoke pot. Always smoking pot. Well, when do you get high? Well, am I awake? That's when I'm high, is awake. Awake times, and probably also while I'm sleeping if my dreams that I don't remember are any indication. I'm high. And somebody was like, wait, you're high right now? Of course I'm high right now. Am I out of my house? Yes, I'm high right now. Why wouldn't I be high right now? And they're titillated and excited. And then quinoa chopsticks raises her hand. And she doesn't look at me. She turns to the instructor of the class and says, "You know, I actually don't think it's appropriate that somebody would come into the classroom environment intoxicated." "I think it potentially compromises the confidentiality we all expect one another to maintain. And I think it undermines the creative spirit that we should all approach this workshop with." Like, I've been punched in the stomach. That felt more like being punched in the stomach than being punched in the stomach. Like, I was in the moment just sort of flattened. Because being called out on being high, like, nobody likes to be called out on being, like, doing something that might be socially unacceptable. But, like, you can wipe off a booger. Like, you can wave away a fart. I can't just not be high. Like, I can't just flip the switch. And, like, in a second ago, I was totally like, yeah, and, you know, I'm quick-witted and comfortable. And suddenly, I was like, yeah, I'm really high. So high, man. Just space and shit. It's like we're all just here, specks of dust. Floating, man. Did you know we're all just liquid? Vibrating? I'm defensive and I don't want to get mad at her, and like I just want to keep my cool, so I look at her and just have to, like, I'm legitimately curious. I just have to ask her, like, is there anything in my behavior up until this point that makes you concerned that I'm not in control of my facilities? Like, is there some reason that you think I'm about to, like, freak out, crap my pants, and steal your purse? Is that like a concern that you're legitimately having? And she just turned around and said, like, I think it's more respectful to the class environment if we move forward with an expectation of sobriety here. And the instructor said, 10-minute break, everybody! And I just took off. And we're in this locked building, so once I leave, I don't even know if I can get, like, back in. But I'm just out. And as soon as I leave the room, it's just, like, just tears. It's the kind of sobbing where it's, like, all air out, no air in. I'm just, everything, snot and drool, just, which is the only way you can make people on the street more uncomfortable than you. While you're sobbing. Like, you're sad, but I'm sadder for having seen it. I'm gonna go about my day. So it's like the Red Sea of businessmen parting as I walk through downtown, just sobbing. And on the first, like, I just jet out of the building and I start walking around the block, and it's downtown San Francisco, so that's like a quarter mile. So, like, I got some time. And I'm like, I'm walking around the building, and it's just like that fucking bitch cunt bitch face, cunt bitch face, cunty bitch face, how do? Just rage tears. And I around the corner and it's like, you know, but she's not wrong. She does have a point. Like, it might be nice to be able to approach a classroom environment or a workshop and not have to take, like, one-hitters in my car before I go upstairs, but that's not yet an option for me. Like, she's not incorrect. It might be nice to expect that people don't show up loaded to everywhere you go, but I did it tonight, and it seems to be working out for me. Like, everybody has their own fucking winning formula, and as I turn the third corner, it's like, fuck it, that's mine. And I just grab my one hitter and I just smoke that whole third left leg, just weeping weed smoke downtown. Not a problem. Like, walking by a dude with way worse problems than mine, like, that's some perspective. And then I just keep going. And around the corner, you know, and I can see the building, and the instructor is a huge dude. He's like 6'4". And he has the door held open, and he has his toe on the door, and he's leaning out as far as he can and looking up both sides of the street, trying to figure out if I'm coming back. And he sees me, and his whole body just, like, I see the relief. And he folds me into this big, huge hug. And, like, he doesn't have to say anything. He said it. He asked me to be vulnerable, and it didn't go the way anybody planned. And it's like a big choice. Like, do I go back to that class? Because I can just keep walking. Like, BART is not far away. I don't have to do that. But I'm not a comfortable person. Being uncomfortable is not anything new to me. And where I am comfortable is here. And I'm not going to let my issues or anybody else's issues with me stop me from being here. So I stuck with it. I did this class, and we all had to do like a group deconstruction of what had happened the next session because we're white liberals, and like the lesbian warrior princess in the class led it, and it all went really well, and we healed, and I wrote a piece that I'm super proud of. I still really love it. It's something I'm very proud I did. And when I got to perform it, I was so comfortable. And that's sort of like, in the end, I'm super glad that I'm not afraid of being afraid and the discomfort isn't that uncomfortable. But I do want you to know that I've left some of my cards in a stack in the lobby. So if you'd like more information about them, you can find it on my website. I think we all know it's best that I not attempt conversation or eye contact tonight. Thank you very much.
I'm lucky enough to be a winner of the Moth, but I'm also have the prestigious honor of scoring the lowest score in Moth history. 0.6. So I've won it and I've lost it. That's called range. If you're not familiar with the Moth, it's a storytelling competition where everybody at the end sort of ends their story the same way, where they have a revelation and they say, and then I realized I wasn't teaching those little kids. Those little kids were teaching me. That's exactly right. And then everybody in the audience, out of joy, throws up into their Moth tote bags. You know what I mean? I love stories. Beginning, middle, and end. Story arc. I love stories too, man. I love stories. So, you ever hear somebody ever say, like, if I had a nickel for blah, 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 I'd have blah, blah, blah nickels, right? To be, like, mad dramatic. So if I had a nickel for every time that I was tricked into smoking embalming fluid, I'd have two nickels. That's too many nickels. I don't even want those. You know what I mean? You have to think, like, Sean, how have you been tricked into smoking a liquid twice? Easy. You buy your weed from a guy named Sleepy Keith. Why is Keith so sleepy? He dips his weed in embalming fluid and thinks he's doing you a solid. Right? So for a very short period of my life, I tried being like, oh, maybe I'm going to try and go like smoking weed. Like, I didn't smoke weed as a little kid. I didn't smoke weed as like an adolescent or, you know, a young adult. But for one time, I was like, maybe that could be like a personality trait of mine. You know what I mean? Like, so one night I was in like a little dive bar in Manhattan, and I was just like, you know, I was feeling crazy. I was like, you know what? New Sean, new year, new me, whatever. There was this guy, and he was like selling weed. His name was Sleepy Keith. At the time, I didn't know that this was like a tainted weed, and I bought like a little joint from him. And I went outside this little dive bar, right? And I took a little, and immediately it like tasted like metallic-y and like had like some sort of like chemical in it. And immediately I was like, oh no. I don't feel so good. And all of a sudden, I like ran into the bar. I was like, oh my God, something's off. I run into the bar. I run into the bathroom. I lock the door behind me. I run up to the mirror. I'm like, mirror, Sean, help me. He's like, I can't. I can only go this far. So I was just like, fine. So I'm just like washing my face and like, I'm like trying to get like left from right. I'm like so messed up. Everything is spinning around me. I'm like Sleepy Keith, you know, E2 Brute. You know what I mean? Like Sleepy Keith, really, you know, E2 Sleepy Keith. And I'm like, oh boy. And like, I don't know what's going on. And I'm trying to get my bearings. I'm splashing water on my face. I'm like, oh boy, I just got to get out of this situation. Just jump in an Uber and whisk myself home, right? So I'm like, okay. I go back out But things in the bar are dramatically different than when I left them. The lights are off, the gates are down, the music's off, and there's just a bartender, right? And she's counting money. And I never forget what she said to me, because I said, oh, hey, and she goes, ah! And all of a sudden I was just like, how long have I been in there for? She goes, I don't know, 4 hours? I was like, whoa, me and Mirashawn can really gab. You know what I mean? Either that or I was taking a schnapp. You guys know what a schnapp is? Shit nap. I was just like, oh boy, I've been schnapping all night. So I was just like, I gotta go home, right? So I whisked myself home and I was just like, oh my God, I'm never buying weed from Sleepy Keith again. You know what I mean? But if you remember from the beginning of the part of the story, I got that other nickel. So 1 week later, shamelessly, 1 week later, I'm outside of the same dive bar and I have this same grandioso dream of being like this like cool weed smoking dude. And my buddy Mitch is standing outside. He's just like, I'm gonna smoke a weed. I'm like, yo, that's all I do now too. You know what I mean? Forgetting everything that just happened in the last week, right? So I'm like, all right, I like take a little puff. And I'm like, who'd you get this from? And he's like, some dude named Keith. And oh no. And in literally the saddest deja vu ever, I ran back into the same bathroom. I'm like, Mirashawn. He's like, I'm disappointed. You know what I mean? Like he like turns his back on me. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I'm splashing water. I'm in the same exact situation that I was. And I was like, I cannot snap the night away. I have to just like, oh boy. I'm like trying to get my bearings again. I'm like, Sean. So I like come out of the bathroom. I'm like, I'm not going to be sleeping in the bathroom all night again. So I come out of the bathroom and I like, remember like the old mother's adage, like of like starve a cold, feed a flu, drink off the embalming fluid. I was just like, oh, I'll just like drink a couple of beers. No problem. So like I go back up to the bar and I'm like trying to like weather the storm. Like if I just like have a couple of Bud Lights, I'll feel fine or whatever. Right. So I like try and like take a sip of beer and I'm in a really bad spot. Like I guess from a third party point of view, like I'm really messed up. Right. So this like group of guys come over and they're just like, yo, are you okay? Blah, blah. And they sort of like take me under their arm and like we're hanging out and he's just like, it's okay. You'll be fine. Blah, blah. Like we're chit chatting with these guys and I sort of like push past it. Like I'm just like, okay, I think I feel okay. You know what I mean? Like we're having some beers. Now these guys are just like, yo, let's go to this other spot. We're gonna go like to this other bar down the street. I'm like, let's go. So now we're like bar hopping from bar to bar to bar with me and this new group of friends that I've never met in my life that just take me on. It's like Entourage but embalming fluid. So just like bar hopping, boom, boom, boom. We're like taking shots, like, yo, Mike, yo, 5 shots, you know, 5 beers for me and my clique. We're having a great time. We're like, we're just a bunch of wolves. We're howling at the moon outside. We're like doing that leapfrog thing, like over each other across the street. It's like a Benny Hill, like sped up. We're doing, you know, dizzy bats in the street, stuff like that. We're having a fucking great time. We go to this, like a nightclub and we get bottle service and the bottle service girl doesn't want to serve us. And I was like, yo, don't embarrass me in front of my friends. She's like, finally, like gives us a bottle of vodka. So we're like partying the whole night, right? At one point, like, I'm, like, crying to this guy. I'm just like, dude, my fucking dad. You know what I mean? Like, my fucking dad's not around. So like that. Like, he's like, it's fine. And so, like, the night is, like, sort of winding down. We've had this, like, whirlwind night. And, like, I don't want the night to end. So I'm like, yo, let's go. We go to this little pizzeria. And I'm like, yo, I go up to the pizzeria, like, little counter. I'm like, yo, I'm going to need one pizza from me. And one pizza for the squad. You know what I mean? So, like, the guy in the pizzeria place is just like, fine. He just casually makes 2 pizzas. He gives us these 2 pizzas, right? And the pizzeria guy's just like, yo, you can't stay here. You gotta, like, go. And I was like, no problem. I don't want the night to end. Me and the clique, right? I'm like, this is what we're doing. We're gonna go back to my place and have a little pizza party. You know what I mean? So I fire up an Uber. Right, we all pile into the Uber. I got the pizzas on my lap. We give like the aux cord to like the Uber driver, and I'm like, "Yo, play like Jock Jams Volume 1." You know what I mean? Like this is the rhythm of the night. my life. So, so like we're like dancing, we're having a good time, we're singing in this car. One of the dudes that's sitting next to me pisses his pants in the back seat. He's having such a good time. It is all over the back seat. I've never been more okay with somebody else pissing my pants. Like, my pants are soaked too. I'm like, dude, whatever. We get back to my apartment. My studio apartment, right? So we get inside, and I'm like, yo, my then girlfriend, now wife, is sleeping in the studio, right? And I'm like, boys, we gotta be quiet, right? All right, because she's right over there, right? So we go inside, and I'm just like, we're gonna have a little bit of pizza party. No big deal. She's a heavy sleeper. So, right? So we start. I go inside, right? And I start wheeling and dealing paper plates. Boom, 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 boom. And the whole time, like, boys, shh, shh, shh. You know, Marguerite, she's right over there. Shh, shh, shh. And as I'm, like, scolding the boys for being too loud, I, indeed, trip over a chair and fall on the ground, right? And now I make this huge bang. And I'd say that my lady came into the room, but she was already in the room. You know what I mean? She just came over to the situation. And she goes, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, babe, I'm so sorry. We're so loud. She goes, who's we? And I look back, and it's just a bunch of paper plates with pizza on it. And she goes, did you piss your pants? And if you've ever seen a movie like The Sixth Sense or Fight Club, I start snapping back into the entire night. And I am indeed not with a group of people. I am telling a bottle service girl, don't embarrass me in front of my friends. And leapfrogging nobody and crying and doing this whole thing. I was indeed by myself that night. And that very moment, I realized that those imaginary friends were not teaching me. That I was teaching those imaginary friends. Thank you guys so much.
What is this sea flowing out of me? It's pee. Fatter all around my bladder.
You gotta pee.
Why is this urinal all full?
It's full of pee.
What's like water, except it's yellow and it's hotter?
That's pee.
If you drink enough, your pee will be clear. And if you gotta go, don't do it here. We're having a real nice day. Don't spoil it. If you gotta go pee, do it in the toilet. Drink some more water, young fellow. You're dehydrated with pee a dark yellow.
This is Risk. This is the toilet bowl cleaners behind me now. Some people call them the Beatles of the bathroom. And by some people, I mean, I just made that up. And that is all for the Best of Drug Stories, number one, 420 edition. Have you ever had a mind-boggling or magically lovely or horrifying time under the influence? Pitch us your story at risk-show.com/submissions. And you can find all of these compilations, like the best of true crime stories, the best of funny stuff, or the best of sex stories at risk-show.com/special series. Folks, today's the day. Take a risk.
It's like water, except it's yellow and it's hotter.
That's pee.